Good to have all of those that are by live stream. It's always a great joy to be here. After 30 years, I never lost the thrill of being in the house of the Lord here at Cathedral to Praise. This year, in November, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary, and we'll be putting more information out about that in the near future. That'll be a great time. And, of course, starting in July, they're going to begin to promote the school, the Texas School of Supernatural Ministry. Be praying about that. It's going to be the best year ever. It's going to be awesome. And I want you to open up to Romans chapter 14 to begin with this morning. And let's believe the Lord to impart something to us today. When we look at the kingdom of God, we know that it's righteousness, and that's what it says in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which one may edify another. I wanted to go ahead and read those two verses after verse 17 because they really have great meaning for us as well. But when we look at what the kingdom of God is defined as, we talk a lot about this here because, you know, one of the things we call the kingdom of God is the family. And that's really what God's creating in the midst of us is a family. It's more than a church, it's a family. And there's a difference, isn't there, between a church and a family? Because a family denotes the intimacy of relationships that goes beyond what we'd normally deem as a social structure called a church. But to be joined together as one, to have one heart, one mind, one purpose in life is really a family's mission. Where we, no matter what we go through, we stick together. We might have our disagreements. We might have our times and challenges of not understanding one another. But in the ultimate verdict is that we are still together because we love each other. Families held together by the bond of love. And the kingdom of God is love. You know, we talked, I think last time I ministered here 2 weeks ago, I talked about the gift of love or the gift of what it means to really walk in the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13 defines it very well. It's good to go back and read that because it tells us what love really is. Love is not puffed up. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love is gentle. Love is meek. Love is forgiving. It's not judgmental. And those definitions of love are incredible. And it concludes in 1 Corinthians 13 that now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So when we look at the kingdom, we see the framework by which the kingdom operates are this, what I'd call the circle, would be faith, hope, and love. But then in the midst of that, he defines the kingdom as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And not meat or drink. And what he's saying that we're not looking for some natural creation or something to happen here birthed out of the flesh. But what we want to see happen and what we're believing for is that which God brings down from above. His kingdom manifesting. A few years back, Bill Johnson wrote the book, and how powerful it was received, yet in its simplicity, When Heaven Invades Earth. And I'm thinking when that came out, why didn't I write that? You might have thought the same thing. Because how complicated is it to say, let's let heaven invade earth? Does it take a brain scientist to figure out the disciples' prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let that heaven invade this earth. For when it does, we're going to have righteousness, peace, and joy prevail on this level. See, we're not going to bring forth anything on the natural level that will make any kind of impression. But it's all birthed in what comes forth by the Spirit, what comes from above. That's what impresses the earth. And basically, what it winds up, if you want to look at a simplistic concept, is that we're just a bunch of people receiving from God so we can give from God something. Pretty simple, isn't it? God imparting, people releasing. Everything that we have in the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy, it's all an impartation from the Lord. Our transference. It comes to us by His Spirit. So none of us could ever boast and say, well, look how righteous I am. Look how much peace I have. Look how much joy I have. Because you don't have those things in yourself. But in Christ, you have all of that. For in Him we live and move and have our being. So everything that we are is because of who and what He is. Just as the Son is the essence of the Father, we become the essence of the Son. And ultimately reflect the Son back to Him, the Son. Jesus, you know, you'd think He would get bored looking at us and all He could see is Himself. But that's not really very boring, isn't it? Because when He looks at you, He sees you as what He is. That's an incredible statement. And it says that we're even say, just as He is, so are we also in the earth. So when He sees us, He sees Himself in us. But ultimately, what He's seeing is what the Father is. See, all this ties together with such oneness that we open this channel. And I think Bill was talking about that a while ago. And I kind of half listened to what he was saying. But what I did hear is this clear channel. Not that I was bored by it. I was just distracted. This clear channel. I mean, if you had to sit by a beautiful woman like this down here on the front row, you'd be distracted too. I mean, it's hard to keep your mind in the Spirit. I mean, look what God did to men. He created all these beautiful creatures. And then He says, walk in the Spirit. I mean, sometimes you think He's a practical joker, don't you? Just more stuff to crucify. Oh, my goodness. Woo. So there's channel that we open up to God. It's clear channel. When we keep that open, and it's not hard to keep open. The only thing that shuts it is our lack of faith that it's really there. If you really believe God is there, where is He? If you really believe God is there, then where is He? There. Right? He's there. If you believe something, then it's a reality, isn't it? I mean, you can go around believing a lot of stuff. You can believe that you're down and out, that everyone's talking about you, that you're just crud, you're worthless. And if you really believe that, then that's really what you are. Right? Because whatever you believe, you'll send out a communique. You might want a communique is? A communication. You'll send out a communication that, to others that says, look, I'm worthless. Look, I'm not worthy. Look, I'm cruddy. Look. And so it reflects back to you. That's very, you send this pinging signal out. Ping, ping, ping. And it pings right back to you. It's a boomerang, isn't it? There's a boomerang principle of the Spirit. Whatever you throw out there is going to come back to you. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. The problem with sowing is that you reap more than what you sowed. It's a good thing if you're reaping sowing the right things, isn't it? But it's not so good if you're sowing the wrong things. So the Lord's saying, I want you to open up a channel so that you can receive what I have to say and what I have to give to you. So you can ping it back. So when we begin to look at this principle of joy, we understand that joy is always there. It's like there's a channel and this bridge station that we've tuned into, it's 11:20 a.m., there's a channel says joy channel. Now, one thing about radio signals, whether you hear them or not, they're always there. Now, if we were to say this morning, what's playing on the radio, none of us here brought our portable radio, so probably couldn't tell you. But if you were to bring your portable radio and tune it in to a certain station, then you could all identify what the song is. Right? So God, in his abundance of supply, has already sent the answer. He's already opened up a channel that's imparting righteousness, peace, and joy. You say, well, I don't feel righteous, peaceful, or joyful. The only reason you don't is because you haven't turned your radio on. Remember that old Ray Stevens song? Turn your radio on. Come on, you can sing it, Ron. And listen to the music from above. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. So if I want to be filled with joy this morning, I just need to turn on my radio and tune into the channel called Joy. Woo! My. Is that simple? Is it that simple? How simple is it to move from one place to the next in the things of God? Everybody says, very simple. It's a kiss moment. Everybody turn to someone and say, it's a kissing moment. Now define kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. You move in the realm of spirit. You move out of the flesh into the realm of spirit by one simple act of will, which is called faith. Faith is an activity of will. Not Will Vandiver, but will. I wanted to make sure you understood. Faith is an activity of your will. In other words, if I'm going to move my right foot to the other side of that pulpit, then I need to make a conscious effort to do so, right? Did I do it? Okay. Now, if I move that right foot, then where's this left foot? It's dragging. It needs to come and follow the right foot, doesn't it? So here it comes. Now I'm all in one place again. I'm centered. That's what faith is. Faith is an activity of your will to move you from one place to the next. By faith, Abraham left Ur of Chaldees and walked into a place that he did not know where he was going. But he heard from God to take a step of faith. By faith, the worlds were framed. How did God know what this would be other than he spoke it into existence? But he had to open his mouth up and speak in order for it to happen. Let there be heavens and earth. Wow. Did anybody know that he would create such a vast heaven? You know the weird thing about the heavens, the universe? It's still being created. Whatever you release in faith does not just simply have a one-time implication of purpose. Every time faith is released, it sends ripples from here to eternity. That's how powerful faith is. One little act of faith changes eternity. You never realized how powerful you were. Well, didn't the scripture say that if a man even have a faith is a grain of a mustard seed, that he could say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it happened. So what he's saying is that just a little bitty tiny dose of this nitroglycerin called faith changes eternity. How does that do with you then? You see, many people want to go change eternity, but really God's saying, I'm just trying to change you. Because that you become then the instrument of eternity. Everybody say, I'm an instrument of eternity. One time Dale Gentry prophesied to me, he said, you're not just going to be known as a man that preaches faith, but you're going to be known as a man of faith. Right? So when they write R.I.P. on a stone, underneath that stone, they ought to put, here lies faith. What does that mean? From that grave, I'll say, death, you have no authority over me. Woo! Grave, where's thy sting? When they put Jesus in that tomb, do you think that the tomb could have ever held Jesus? Because what was Jesus? He was faith. See, God himself had to exercise faith when he came in the form of a man. Jesus himself had to have faith. That's why Hebrews 12:2 says, looking now unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So Jesus was a man of faith, lived a life of faith, died in faith, was raised in faith, and ascended in faith. But the moment he came to this earth and set foot on this earth as a human being, as in the form of a baby, his destiny was locked in to his ascension to be seated at the right hand of the Father. See, the moment faith works in you, your eternity, your destiny is sealed. Because when faith works, it can never be taken away. So just step out. Say, okay, I'm a miserable person. How do I get to be a joyful person? Just turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on and listen to the joy coming down. There's joy beaming at you right now. There's so much joy around you, in the atmosphere around you, that it's unspeakable and full of glory. There's so much peace here that passeth all understanding, and it even will rule and guard your heart and keep you from all fear. There's so much righteousness around you in the spirit that there's no room for anything in you to dwell apart from his heart, his nature. His righteousness is in you. It's joy of the Lord. Man, I tell you, I'm the goofiest preacher in town. Because this has nothing to do with the notes that I have. Would y'all quit messing me up? You can only preach to the level of intellectual that your crowd is. That's telling us something, isn't it? I've often wondered, how do I get to preach to this intellectual bunch? I mean, woo! This young man we're sending to Mozambique is an MIT graduate. Can you imagine that? Me preaching to an MIT graduate? Man. Back where I'm from, they call that high cotton. You'd be walking in high cotton. You'd be preaching to an MIT graduate. Some of you people are so smart that you literally would blow the charts off the smartometer. The smartometer just busted because there's so much smart in the room. And here you're getting to listen to me preach. That is, it says something a lot about you or a lot about me. I'm not for sure which one. It might mean that you have pity. This, you like to say, I like to go to that church because they have a backwoods preacher. See, God intends for you to be filled with His fullness. That's His purpose. That's His plan. That's His destiny for you. To be filled with all the fullness of God in you. So when we're walking in this despair, you know, look in Isaiah 61. And, you know, I love this passage. Of course, we're very familiar with it. You know, Daniel, the book of Daniel says the enemy comes to wear out the saints at the Most High. How many sometimes feel like that you're not only wore out, you've been a retreaded tire? When you get wore out, you're down to there's nothing left, there's no tread. Instead of getting a new tire, you went and basically what you got was a retread. And that's flopping and tearing up. How many of you ever know what a retread tire is? How many don't know what a retread tire is? Okay, I'm not going to give you an education this morning. The young people here probably don't know what retreads are. We that have been around a while do. But a retread is simply a used tire that has some new rubber put on it, and it never lasts as good as the new thing. Right? So we call it a retread. And some people call it a retard for people that actually buy those. But Daniel says that, what are you laughing about? Is this funny? Okay. That during your time of battle, the enemy will try to wear you out. But that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Everybody say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is during the time of the restoration when the priests were reading from the law and they translated it to the people. You know, oh, they just felt so condemned by the word. But the word came and said, don't be condemned by this, but be freed by it. Be liberated by it. You know, Romans chapter 8 says that all creation is moaning and groaning until now, waiting for the revelation or the manifestation of the sons of God, because creation says that it's time that we be delivered from the bondage of corruption and be brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we're groaning eagerly saying, Lord, we don't want to live in this bondage, but we want to live in the land of freedom. And that's a lot of what's happening in the body of Christ in this hour. We're shedding the cocoon that's kept us bound, and we're being liberated to become those butterflies Everybody kind of make a butterfly motion. The butterflies. Up and away in my beautiful balloon. Woo! I mean, when you get liberated from corruption, bondage, legalism, when you get liberated from condemnation, now therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in the balloon. For those who are in Christ Jesus, when you're in Christ Jesus, you're in the balloon. You're in a place of that's far above all powers, darkness, oppressions. You've been lifted up and seated with Him in heavenly places. You've ballooned on up there. You didn't have to climb up there. You don't have to struggle up there to get there. You were lifted up there. Love lifted me. When nothing else helped, love lifted me. I only do this so the old people will keep tithing. Because one of them old people, they say, that church is just all that new songs and stuff that I don't even know them. Hadn't heard them songs. Why don't we sing some of them old hymns every now and then? That's what I'm doing. I'm keeping you happy. Love lifted me. Double tithes. Except I exposed my secret, didn't I? In chapter 61, when Jesus quoted this in Luke chapter 4, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, heal brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives." See, that's what I'm doing this morning, following in the footsteps of Jesus. "And the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning." Everybody say, "I love the oil of joy." Wouldn't it be cool this morning if God just got out His bottle of joy oil and just sprinkled it on you? Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings I see. Mercy drops raining down for me. But for the showers I plead. I can't help it. I tuned into the joy channel. I get goofy when I get joyful. I'm sorry, forgive me. Visitors. Triple what? Triple size it. Oh, triple tithe. Yes. I used to watch this preacher. One time I went to the Bay Area back in the 70s and I took over these three churches. I'll explain later what "took over" means. But you really don't ever want me to take over a church. For 6 weeks, the apostle I was serving under sent me there. And so I went there for 6 weeks and spread some blessing on them. And for every night, I would go in back home. You know, you're just dead tired from ministering. This, of course, I was young, back 20-something years old. Sue and the kids were there for a while, then they left. But I was... had this house by myself. The people had left town and let us use this house. So I'd go in at night and turn the television on just to relax. And they had this brother Gene Scott on television. How many ever had the privilege of watching Gene Scott on television? Gene Scott was had a doctrine in theology from the Assembly of God, but he departed ways from the Assembly of God. But he was fun to watch at night. He'd sit there in his studio, and he had a big cigar about that long. He'd be smoking it. I said, blessed be the Lord. I said, now I want you people to give. I want those phones to start ringing, and I want you to start giving. Phones aren't ringing. Okay, guys, I want you. We got a camera in the parking lot. We're going to turn the camera on in the parking lot. We're going to pan the parking lot with the camera. And while we're doing that, I want you all to play the parking lot music. I'm talking to the band over here. And we're going to keep doing that until $30,000 comes in. So they went to the parking lot music, playing the parking lot music, and you're panning the parking lot. You're seeing cars. And then about every 5 minutes, they come back on and say, the phones are ringing, but not ringing fast enough. You're not giving quickly. Come on, play the parking lot music again. So it was a form of punishment. If you didn't give, you got punished. You get to watch the parking lot. But anyway, and then they would come back every now and then. You got to keep giving. Blowing the big cigar. Anyway, it's an amazing story. I know that none of you like that story, but what I did for recreation. Watch Brother Gene Scott on television. Bill finds it funny. You know who I'm talking about. Why am I talking about that, Bill? I think I lost the message. None of the people here can get over the cigar. They never thought about the parking lot. Yeah. Why did I do that, Bill? But you've lost me. I'm not following what you're doing. What? You messed me up. Oh, okay. No more Gene Scott. Lord, impart them brain cells back that been. Okay, thank you, Jesus. But God said, I'm going to give you oil instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. And it goes on down, and I love this part, verse 6. You're going to be called priest. Men shall call you the servants of God. You shall eat the riches of Gentiles. In their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you'll have double honor. Double honor. Double honor. Double blessing. Double bubble. So, isn't that what was preached last week? The double bubble message? That's all I got out of him. That there's a double bubble. We're not looking for double trouble. We're looking for double bubbles. We're looking for double blessings. We're looking for multiplied possessions. We're looking for inheritances that double and triple and multiply. And it says, everlasting joy shall be theirs. Wow. How many like the everlasting joy? Verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. And he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. The bridegroom decks himself with ornaments as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For the earth will bring forth its bud, and the garden will cause the things that are sown in it to spring forth. So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Wow. Everybody say, I'm getting ready for double portion anointing, for joy to spring forth out of my life. You see, Jesus said in John 10, he said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. What does the thief come to do? Kill, steal, destroy. How many love the thief? No. But what did the Lord come to do? I've come to give you life. Life. Everybody say life. And that they may have it more abundantly. I'm going to double up your life. I'm going to multiply your life. I'm going to give you more life, more life, more life. Instead of less life. Girls just want to have fun. Right? Fun. The Lord said, I've come to give you fun and give you abundance of fun. I've come to give you liberty and an abundance of liberty. I've come to give you joy and abundance of joy. I've come to give you life, an abundance of life. I've come to give you an inheritance that overflows in your life that you cannot even contain it. Hallelujah. Prove me not here, saith the Lord, if I'll not pour out a blessing for you that you cannot contain. We're not serving a God of diminishing returns. You didn't, when you signed up the contract and gave your life to Jesus Christ because he shed his blood for you and you turned your life over to him and he bought you with the price he paid for you. He owns you, lock, stock, and barrel, and he did not invest in some loser. He came to make you a winner. He came to make you an abundant, life-changing force upon the earth. He came to fill you up with his fullness, with his righteousness, his peace, his joy. He came to give you double honor. Not double trouble, double honor. We keep trying to drag ourselves back down into the pit of despair when God said, I've lifted you up out of the miry pit. And I've set your feet upon solid ground. I've not left you in the ghetto. I've brought you on up to the west side of town. You're moving on up. You're climbing the ladder. You're not even having to climb it. He's brought you up through it. And now you don't just see a ladder. You're on the ladder. Now you just don't see the end descending and the descending into heaven. You're part of the descending into heaven. You're part of that flow that God brought forth upon the earth. You are the liberated sons of God. You are? I swear it. That's who you are. You're pretty incredible, you know it? So I'm going through some things. Yeah, me too. But for the joy set before me, I just keep looking like Christ did. Just keep looking. When you're going through your Garden of Gethsemane's, when you're going through your crosses, when you're going through your trials, when you're going through your challenge, just saying, Lord, I'm looking unto you, the author and the finisher of my faith. How simple is it? It's very simple. It's all contained with one five-letter statement, name, Jesus. There's five letters, right? Yeah. Jesus. 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 There is no other name written in heaven whereby men are saved except by the name of Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door that opens the door for you to enter into the sheepfold. Sheepfold. Bah. We're the sheep of his pasture. Woo. Boy, we're everything from him. His DNA just flowing all the way through us. Here, take my DNA. Just check me out and just see if I don't belong to him. See, next time the devil comes to get you, just say, hey, here, devil, take my DNA and see if you want to mess with that. Instead of saying, don't mess with Texas. They'll be saying, don't mess with you. That's right. Hallelujah. You're the strength of the Lord. You're the armor of God. You're the high tower. You're the fortress. You're the garland. You're the prince. You're the chosen. You're the beloved. You're the priest. You're the anointed. You're those things. You're filled with joy. Wow. Whew. We got to quit now. Man, I know all you people that are working your doctorate degree, you can write your thesis now. I like what it says in Isaiah chapter 35. Talks about the kingdom that's coming. About how this wilderness, verse 1. This desert shall rejoice because there'll be a new blossom. It'll be an abundant blossom and it'll rejoice with singing. The glory of God will be restored to the land. The excellency of the Lord shall come forth. Strong hands will come forth from weak hands. There you go. Strengthen the weak. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Everybody say it. Be strong. Do not fear. The Lord will come and save you. Verse 5, the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap as a hart. You didn't know I was in the Bible, did you? So let it be written. So let it be done. Shall leap as a deer hart. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams will come forth in the desert. I don't like that translation, but it's okay. King James. New King James. What verse are we at? 7. The ground will become like a pool and the thirsty land like water, springs of water. And the habitation of dragons. What in the world? Jackals. What does ASB stand for? Bill? Oh, yeah, the American Standard. I used to preach out of that till I got wise. Verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a road it shall be called the highway of holiness. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, no ravenous beast will go up, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return. Everybody, verse 10, band is your clue to come up, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and we'll, I've drank too much this morning, by the way. Do I have to take the breathalyzer test? And the ransom to the Lord shall return, and they will come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, sorrow and sighing and mourning and griping, complaining, anxiety, will all flee away. Hallelujah. Gospel according to heart. It's all gone. It all fleed away. Everybody say it done fled. It got out of town in a hurry. How would you like some of that stuff that's been bugging you just to get out of town in a hurry this morning? Amen. Just say, get out of town, fear. Get out of town, depression. No longer lives in me. You know, one thing about the King David, he was a wild man. I used to call him the man uncorked. When he found out that the glory of God the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Obed-Edom. And they came to him and said, man, the house of Obed-Edom's getting blessed. David took the hint. Let's go down to the house of Obed-Edom and bring the glory of God back to our house. So while they were bringing the cart carrying the Ark of the Covenant through the streets of Jerusalem, David was so excited. They said he was dancing and whirling through the streets, wearing a linen ephod. And his wife Micah was observing him and said, look at the fool David, wearing a linen ephod, and all the maidservants are watching. He's embarrassing himself. Because linen ephods aren't the most modest thing to wear when you're whirling. Never tried that, but you never know. Leaping and dancing and praising the Lord and whirling. And his wife was so upset because he was a man uncorked. It's not right that a king, someone of your stature, should display outwardly such passion of joy. I don't care if the glory of the Lord was with you and you're so excited about it, be sure to restrain yourself around other people, because we wouldn't want anyone to be embarrassed. Well, when Micah spoke those words, David looked at her, and she became barren. She never bore a child from that day forth. And that's what happens to us spiritually. When we shut off the flow of joy, the flow of his presence, we become barren in our ability to express ourselves. If you were to come in here Friday night, I was literally a fool. I sang, even when I was off tune. And I hollered, and I shouted, and I made noises. And I acted weird. And I didn't do that because I woke up yesterday morning and said, I want to go act weird at church so everybody will notice me. Now when I leave, I say, oh my God, what did I do? Well, that's all I know to do, because, you see, if I don't let myself become uncorked and I cork myself up, then all those emotions and feelings and those things of the flesh, the natural mind, will overwhelm me, and pretty soon I'll be so bottled up inside that I just will be overwhelmed with the challenges of this world. But when I uncork before God and I let his presence begin to flow into my life, and I open my ears to hear the channel of the Lord, turn your radio on and listen to the music, when I hear the joy coming down in the glory and the righteousness of God into my spirit, it can't help but produce and invoke a response out of me that's beyond my natural man. And that's why Paul said, I've become a fool for Christ. Uncork yourself. Take your hand on top of your head and just pull the cork out. Pull it out again. Okay, make sure you got it out of there. Now you've got an open spot there on the top of your head called a receptacle. And now the Lord said, I'm going to pour in wine. Feel that? Pour it in the wine. Keep your cork out. Let the wine come in. There you go. Pour it in, Lord. Pour some more wine. We want some wine this morning. We want your joy. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Bye-bye. Bye. oppression and depression, by affliction, by sadness, by confusion, by sickness, by worry, by. Don't come back and visit again. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Welcome, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Welcome, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Welcome. Whoa. Woo. You got it, Ron? You got it? You got that old cork out? No more old hymns for you tonight. Well, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure from all alarms. I love those songs. I'm really singing them for myself. I'm the old person that likes to listen to them. Woo! Come on, just fan yourself or something this morning. I mean, woo! Come on now. Woo! It feels good. Oh, my goodness. The Lord, we love you so much. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Oh, we delight ourselves in the Lord. We delight ourselves in the Lord. Oh. Woo. Oh, my goodness. Well, some of you ladies know where that big love banner is. We can bring the love banner. We want to let you pass under that this morning. If you're brave enough to come. Because I want and believe that every one of you today to receive just a double portion of His presence. How many are glad that you came? Just lift your hands. Say, Lord, I receive Your presence. Your freedom. Your life, Your abundance. Hallelujah. See, when we get this on us, and even the world we live, the life we live in the world is around us, we'll be like Bill Vanderbush. We'll be like Belizean all the time. Belize me. Belize me. We'll learn how to live life to its fullest. Traveling to and fro throughout the earth under the canopy of His glory. Wow. Here we come. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to spread this out up here. Come to the front, girls, if you could. And if someone, you need some help, that's fine. This is the river this morning. When we made this carpet different colors down here when we installed it years ago, we wanted it to be like a river flowing around this church. And there's a special anointing right in here of river anointing, of glory anointing. And this morning, if you feel led to come, just come and pass under this banner of glory. And it's an act of faith. As you pass under this banner of glory, I believe if you walk in faith through this, there'll be an impartation to you that's just incredible. And some of you are going to get so filled up this morning that it's going to just blow your mind with the glory of God. How many would like some of that? Amen. So we're going to stretch this across here. And as you come under this morning and come from this to your right, my left, come that direction. We're just going to sing the song and just come under the banner. What are you going to sing there, Darren? Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.